So anyway, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, y'all, I think remember and know where we are. 1 Thessalonians 4, we've been talking about the rapture for several weeks. I undertook because it's such a doctrinal issue these days to make sure that, you know, we're established in the fact that it is a pre-trib rapture. We're not mid-tribbers or post-tribbers or pre-rathers. I've explained most of all that. Don't forget that we talked about how when you compare in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, what actually happens, this is not a description of the full-blown second advent, second coming of Christ in wrath. Not the least of which is the fact that the angels come back with the Lord Jesus Christ the day of his wrath, whereas there are no angels, only the voice of the archangel involved in him coming for us, correct? The other thing about all this is that he never touches down at our coming. We meet the Lord in the air and go back to heaven with him. We have a judgment seat of Christ to go through, right? A marriage. Then we come back with him. He touches down at Armageddon, and off we go into the millennium. Is that right? Also, just covering those things, then we spent, I think, 2 weeks going over, in part anyway, the first, chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, the churches, and how those churches cannot be the New Testament body of Christ, because their salvation's different. They have promises. Well, we have promises they don't have. They are plainly working under another system than we are. Those churches doctrinally are tribulation churches going through the Great Tribulation. There were churches historically in those places. And there are things in there that we can apply spiritually to ourselves, but doctrinally there is no way. Ephesus, Smyrna, etc., Pergamos, Thyatira, down the line, Laodicea even, are doctrinally church-age, body of Christ churches. We talked about that, and so I want to talk about one more thing here today, because there's one thing that you need to really get a handle on, and then I suppose I want to make sure and go through one of the major heresies of the day. We won't get to it today, I'm pretty sure, but the pre-wrath rapture. That has compromised quite a number of Baptists, even some Baptists somewhat in our circles, those guys professing the King James Bible. It has suborned them somewhat, so they think that the church is going partway through the tribulation until the wrath really falls. And I'll show you next week, I think, what's wrong with that and why that does not work at all. The problem is, you know, after a while, the church's compounded ignorance, its lack of being taught doctrinally correct dispensational doctrine, simply rightly dividing, they confuse all kinds of stuff. They confuse Israel with the church. They confuse the kingdom of God with the kingdom of heaven. By the time you start confusing those things, you are unable to distinguish good doctrine from bad. And so something like the rapture gets lost on you because you don't know where it fits. You're reading this passage that says this passage that says that, and so you get really confused. So I'd like to spend some time with that. But for today, I want to talk to you about something that's really important to get a hold of. It will clarify some of what we talked about already through these last 3 or 4 weeks. I'm not trying to beat this thing to death, but the rapture is the next prophetic waypoint. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be wrong about it. And I'm a pastor, and I don't want you to be wrong about it. So to spend 5 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever it's been, going over it carefully so you know what it is, I think is a good investment. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9. Verse And of all things, I left my glasses at home today, so I'll do the best I can. See how well good I am, crippled and blind, I guess. You say you're crippled too high for crutches anyway. Yeah, I know that. I know this doesn't really address the problem. Daniel chapter 9. Now, if there's something that you need to get a hold of, it is the Daniel's 70th week, 70 weeks. It's pretty heavy Bible study as such. And I imagine that, I don't doubt that many do here understand it. But to understand it is really to get the key to things. Now, we're talking about the pre-trib rapture. And you'll see, let's start reading in Daniel 9, 24. Daniel is prophesying about something, being prophesied to about something by the Lord, where he's showing him how things are going to work for Israel. Now, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So first of all, who are the 70 weeks involving? Thy people, Jews, and upon the holy city. Is that New York? Tallahassee? No, it's Jews, right? It's Israel, it's Jerusalem. Hey, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And here's what they accomplish. To finish the transgression. So something's going to be wrapped up to make an end of sins. Well, on a dispensational chart, where does that even work? To make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, on the dispensational chart, where would that even fit? Well, you could jump on all the way out into eternity if you want to, but here Jesus Christ comes to reign and rule in righteousness, rules over the nations with a rod of iron. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And he settles, I mean, there are still sinners down here because there are people mortal that are living through the millennium. But it has to be talking about Christ's second coming. So it has to wrap up, the 70 weeks must wrap up by this point, right? The beginning of the millennium. Let me keep reading here. Daniel 9, 24. To finish transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now there's the important one, right? When are we going to anoint the most holy? Well, he's going to be anointed king, coronated king in the millennium. Okay, so we're looking about something, the 70 weeks ending somewhere then, because by then it's all wrapped up. So, sorry, I flipped my Bible closed at the wrong place. Daniel 9. All right, verse 24. To anoint the most holy. So that wraps up the 70 weeks. Now, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, and we'll talk about the 7 weeks, the 62 weeks in a second. Let's keep our place here. That from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Now, there is controversy about what exactly that means, but because several kings were involved with in Israel's captivity of sending somebody. Ezra went forth to build the temple. Nehemiah went forth to build the city and the walls, right? He's repairing all that stuff. Look in Nehemiah chapter 2, because we need to figure out, and this seems the most likely, because Nehemiah chapter 2 and Nehemiah, of course, gets news from the folks already in Jerusalem rebuilding the temple that there's all kinds of stuff going on. So he's got a sad countenance. The king says, "Hey, what's wrong? Why is thy countenance sad?" Verse 2, "Seeing thou art not sick, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart, and I was very sore afraid." And you're not supposed to, you know, burden the king with your problems. Verse 3, "I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. That's called instant in prayer. You're sad. The king says, "What's wrong?" You go, "Well, why shouldn't I be sad?" And the king says, "Okay, what do you want to do?" I want to complain. That's what we would do. Verse 5. "I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I may rebuild it," the city, right? So rebuilding the city walls and the sepulchers and stuff. He's not called to go build the temple. Okay, so from the going forth, it says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. So before we do more, there is dispute among various prophecy writers about what that date is. Schofield came up with one thing, Sir Robert Anderson another, and there are several others that I could name. But according to Archbishop Usher, whom you may not recognize the name, and I know that the fact that he's an archbishop doesn't count for much, but he lived back in the 1600s. He wrote this huge book, The Annals of Chronology of the Bible, and he is recognized as being really solid. There's a lot of kind of conspiracy about what happened because his date seemed to be right, but there are some folks that refuse to publish it in various places like Schofield's Bibles. But the bottom line is that he dated the going forth to Darius, the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem was 453, and of course that is B.C. And I'm sorry, I'm still using B.C. and A.D. Deal with it. Okay, so 453 B.C. Now, like I said, this is kind of involved. Just get ready to do just a little math here for a second. Okay, verse 25. "Now therefore I understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem," not the temple, "unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. You say, why did he do that? Well, first of all, let me say he's saying weeks. So if it's 70 weeks, then that's only 490 days. So something's up with that, right? Those are 70 weeks of years. You can say that on the basis of when Jacob was going to marry both Leah. He thought he was only going to marry Rachel, but he married Leah too, right? Because Laban was a little bit sideways, a little crooked. And so he says, I want to marry Rachel. He says, okay, fulfill her week. Okay, how long did he serve for Leah? 7 years. Week of years. He said, hey, you gave me the wrong girl. He said, yeah, I know. I didn't think I was going to be able to marry her off. So he said, I want Rachel. He says, okay, fulfill her week. So it later says, Genesis 31, that Jacob served for Leah and Rachel for 14 years. 2 weeks is 14 years, right? Also, don't forget that when the children of Israel went into the land and spied out the land, those 40 spies, 12 spies for 40 years, what was the cost of that? The cost of that was that they went back into the wilderness and wandered for 40 years. Days for years. So look, this is if this is just 490 days, it doesn't make any sense. Now he specifies from here to Messiah the Prince, there is first of all 7 weeks. Okay? So 7 weeks of 7 years equals 49, right? Okay, you're working here with negative 453. So it's 453 BC, negative 453. If you take 49 years, or add, I guess, 49 years to that, you wind up at 404 BC, correct? I'm subtracting. You're at a negative, so you're going forward, so you're subtracting 49 from 453. That's 404. I'll say, what's 404? 404 is the close of the Old Testament canon. That's about the time that Malachi was written, and from there you had 400 silent years between that and the New Testament. Okay? So he says what? To Messiah the Prince, there are first of all 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 62 is 62 weeks, is that right? All right, so 62 weeks. Okay, that comes out to 62 times 7 is 434. Everybody okay with the math? Okay, so 434. Okay, this is still negative 404. So going forward, 404 and technically adding 434, use up the 404 years and you're left with 38. I know that's not very clear where I'm writing, I suppose, but okay, 30 AD. Now, Christ started his ministry in 30 AD. From the going forth of the decree to rebuild Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince, 483 years. And you wind up at 30 AD. Now, if that's the case, our calendar is right. Right? Because some of those guys, in order to make their systems work and trying to account for the Gregorian calendar and all that stuff, they wind up with Christ born in minus 4 and stuff like that. It looks like, if this is right, that the calendar is right, Christ began his ministry in 30 AD, which makes sense because we know he died 3.5 years later, so 33 AD, 34 AD, right? So far we're on track, and you've gotten to Messiah the Prince. Now, I'm taking time for this, then we'll deal with some other stuff here in a second, but verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, it doesn't say necessarily his birth, but it just says to him, so to him would include when he started his ministry. That works with the numbers anyway, right? Unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, so 49 years, and 62 weeks, that's 434 years, adding up to 483 years, which puts us at 30 AD. It says, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. So that's what Nehemiah did, right? And then it says in verse 26, and after 62 weeks, so including the seven plus the 62, after that, what happens? What does it say? The Messiah shall be cut off. Unquestionably, Calvary. Correct? Okay, so we're on track. It doesn't say how much longer after that, but it just says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. He wasn't crucified for his own transgressions, because he didn't have any. And then notice, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Okay, after Christ's resurrection, as after his death, who destroyed the city? Rome, right? 70 AD, Titus comes in, destroys the city. Okay, so read that phrase. And the people of the prince that shall come, he hasn't come yet, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. The Romans destroyed the city. Looks like Rome is involved in the future with a prince that shall come. And it may be mystery Babylon, mystery Rome. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm getting at there? It says, and the people of the prince that shall come, that's going to be the Antichrist, shall destroy the city and sanctuary. So they do come in 70 AD. Titus destroys the temple that was rebuilt during the captivity, tears it down to the ground. It's not there now. I was just there. I assure you, it's not there. There's this big golden mosque sitting there right in the spot. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Now that's combining a history with prophecy, because in the future, the dragon comes down, correct? Revelation 12 tries to destroy Israel, and he casts a flood out of his mouth, and the earth swallows it. Remember that? I'm not going to run all over the place for that one this morning, but that's what it says. And I think it's mixing history with prophecy there, so you'll know it's prophecy. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And then it says, and he, now there's debate prophetically about who he is, but he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he, that leads me to believe it's the prince that shall come from verse 20, Antichrist. Now, I know there's another way of looking at it, but I can only cover one thing at a time. So hang on. He shall confirm the covenant, verse 27, with many for 1 week. So you've already run through 7 weeks, 62 weeks, that's 69 weeks. And now there's 1 week left, right? Just notice, though, what's happened. You've covered 69 weeks to here. There's another week in here somewhere. Well, there's 2,000 years that we know of here already. So this down here has to be the 70th week, the 1 week that's left. And it says that in the middle of that week, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Okay, now we can run a lot of Bible here and all that, but Antichrist comes in, and this is, you know, like I said, there's more than one way to look at this, so just hang on. The Antichrist comes in the Great Tribulation, confirms a covenant with Israel that they can once again sacrifice in the temple. There'll be a rebuilt temple. So there's another temple coming. And then another one after that, because that'll be the millennial temple, the last one, right? So there's a temple in the past destroyed, another temple built and destroyed, Solomon's. And now you have another temple built coming out of Nehemiah and Ezra, and that's no longer there. So there's another tribulation temple coming where the Antichrist confirms the covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, what's half of seven? 3.5. In the middle of the week, he breaks the covenant. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that he comes in, sits down on the throne, showing himself that he is God, right? He is the abomination of desolation. Okay? And so in the middle of the week, that happens. And then it plays on out. The Antichrist ministry, 3.5 years, from the middle to the end. And then you have Christ coming back. So you have 69 weeks to hear. Then you have Daniel's 70th week fulfilled in the tribulation. Now again, in the prophecy, does any of this have anything to do with you? No. It has to do with the city of Jerusalem. It has to do with God's people, Israel. This was not even foreseen. So all those times I've told you that when you're going through Bible prophecy and you're talking about doctrinal prophecy, that this is an unforeseen time frame. No prophet prophesied of it doctrinally. Nobody foresaw it. Paul had to call an apostle specifically to reveal to the New Testament all the details of how you got saved and what the relation of this people in here, the bride of Christ, has with Israel. To mistaken the bride of Christ for Israel is spiritual suicide as far as the truth's concerned. Just so you know. Okay? So what happens in the Bible, although the New Testament is mostly all about this, looking at it from a Bible perspective, Old Testament and then on into the New where Christ is ruling and reigning, this can be zipped up. This brings these 70 weeks together. Cool? I think it's cool. There is a 2,000-year, roughly, gap that the Lord allowed to let me and you in. And we have a very special, specific place. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We don't keep Sabbaths and dietary laws because those things are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The body is a totally different, separate animal. If you take the graph and squeeze this out and see it as the prophets of old saw it, these weeks come together as 70 weeks. Okay? And so there you have what they call the postponement theory. Now, the kingdom was postponed. It's not a theory. It's a doctrine. And we're waiting for Jesus Christ to come get us out, because then he can start his dealings with Israel. This is called the time of Jacob's trouble, not the time of the church's trouble. All that is to say that the rapture is pre-trib. You have nothing to do with this time frame here. You have nothing to do from here except to believe on Christ, a resurrected Jesus Christ. And this has nothing to do with you prophetically at all. This is squeezed together, and the weeks all fit together. Okay? Now, I have always kept this 69th week, this time when Christ was crucified, I've always kept that separate, and this 1 week separated here. Dr. Ruckman, most prophetic writers, Schofield, all said that this week sits off alone by itself, and maybe it does. It still reads right to do so. Now, Brother Donovan is teaching, and I believe he may be right. There's a possibility that since Christ's ministry on earth was 3.5 years, Okay, you know that from John 2, because he ministered for a while before he went to the first Passover. And then you have a detail of three other Passovers. And there's an extra one in there somewhere. It doesn't detail it. But Christ's ministry, because Christ died at Passover, correct? And then there was a time frame in John 1 and 2 where Christ was ministering. Remember the Cana of Galilee, the wedding. There's some other things that he did before he went to the first Passover. So roughly speaking, Christ must have started his ministry around the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? That means that in time for the first Passover, he went through a total of three Passovers in his life, 3.5 years. So Christ's ministry was almost, and really, I think, quite exactly 3.5 years. Now, that should register as being, well, that's weird, because there's 3.5 years and 3.5, and 3.5 and 3.5 is 7. Here's a total of 7 over here. The thought is that through Christ's ministry, that the 3.5 years of Christ's ministry was the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. It doesn't change the order of things. It's just saying that there's a possibility that the 3.5 weeks that Christ at his baptism was considered anointed, that the covenant started again, and when they killed Christ, that the prophetic clock stopped at the 3.5 weeks. And so all we're looking at in the future is, instead of 7 full years, maybe only 3.5 years for the Great Tribulation. You still get out before. It's not an issue, right? It doesn't affect us at all. I'm only saying that there is a teaching, and I think there's a very good chance that it's right, that all we have left in the future, I say we, all the world has left in the future is the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Because the 3.5 years of Christ's ministry may well have been the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. That means that a lot happens in the last 3.5 years. And again, it doesn't affect anything as such. Personally, I think that's possible. Although when I read the prophecy, I still am inclined to set the 7 years off to themselves. Now, what it could mean, too, is that there was a bunch of stuff that happened in Christ's ministry. For instance, John the Baptist shows up, right? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. And the thing about that is that Matthew says that that could have been John the Baptist. It could have been Elijah. We know that Elijah shows up in the Great Tribulation. He and Moses show up in the Great Tribulation and are killed by the Antichrist and resurrected from the dead. Correct? Okay. So here, weirdly, you have John the Baptist that shows up, and Jesus says he could have been Elijah, but y'all rejected him, so he wasn't. So that's, it looks like John the Baptist could have been Elijah, so that was done already, but it has to be repeated. Which would mean that it's possible that Christ fulfilled the first 3.5 years of the tribulation in his ministry, but because the Jews rejected it, there may be a redo of those 3.5 years. So maybe there were 3.5 years that could have been, but since they weren't, it's going to be the full 7. I'll be blunt with you. That's kind of what I think is going to happen. But for my part, you know. Yes, sir.
So I agree with you on that, because it says after 3 score and 2 weeks, shall the sky be cut off.
Yep.
So it has the clock stopped at the that's the way I've always read.
Right. I've read that too, right. I think, I'm not going to speak for him, but I think that he would argue it doesn't tell you how long. after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. It doesn't tell you how long, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And he shall confirm the covenant, verse 27, with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. So I'm not going to argue either way. He's got real solid Bible, and he makes it work. I'm not saying he forces it to work. I'm saying he views it that way. I've just always held that there's just, to me, I keep being haunted a little bit by John the Baptist, because he could have been Elijah, right? And if he was effectively here before, but Elijah is truly coming in the future, then what else will be repeated? See what I'm saying? So even though Christ's 3.5-year ministry could have been the first 3.5 of the trib, maybe since the Lord says, okay, you guys blew it, so we're going to do it all over. That's kind of what I tend to think. Cody. You could say that, yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, it is a coulda, woulda, shoulda been situation, but since it wasn't, then we're going to do it all over. And just to be clear, you know, the one thing that I think has real strong import is the fact that when you track it, the first 3.5 years of Christ, the 3.5 years of Christ's ministry was almost to the day 3.5 years. And in the Great Tribulation, from the day the abomination of desolation is set in the temple, there's 1,260 days. I mean, it's 42 months, a time, times and a half, time, 3.5 years. Literally, if you went to the tribulation, you won't, and you saw the abomination of desolation sitting in the temple of God, you could start counting that day and know how many days until Jesus comes again. 1,260 days, 42 months, time, times, half a time. But always, and you read Revelation through and think about this. I know that this seems plain. I've always thought about it this way. I'm not sure if I'm just stuck in the way I've always thought about it. Because when you go study Daniel and when you study the great Revelation, it never talks about 7 years. It talks about 3.5 years. It talks about time, times, half a time. One time plus two times, plus a half a time, 3.5 years. 42 months, 3.5 years. 1,260 days, 3.5 years. In Daniel and Revelation, all those time frames are always 3.5 years. The only place we have is Daniel 9 saying it's Daniel's 70th full week. So I think there's a possibility that this 3.5 thing is, there's something to it. I'm still not convinced the first 3.5 years are not repeated.
So, okay, so I just want to comment, first of all, on the 30 AD, that makes sense because there's a verse that says, talks about the Lord showing of himself to Israel, and that's basically at the beginning of his ministry. So that makes full sense.
Yes. Moses and Elijah showing up in Zechariah.
Because that, okay, so now I'm going to expose myself. I might not know what I'm talking about.
No.
So my understanding is the first 3.5 are you have the, basically the son of perdition, the man of sin.
Yes.
Then he
dies. Yes. Right.
For full scale, basically terror on Earth.
Right. Yep. Yep.
What does he do with those? How does he do with Moses and Elijah?
I hesitate to speak for him, but don't forget, Judas Iscariot was here for 3.5 years.
Right.
spam, right? So he gets up. Brother Donovan finds one time, the word time, in Daniel 11, that he thinks between the rapture of the church and the beginning of the re-beginning of the full-blown ministry of the Antichrist, there's a year, one time. And so you have Judas, the son of perdition. He's called the son of perdition. And he's gone, and he is resurrected and shows back up in the middle of the trip. Elijah, John the Baptist could have been Elijah, but he wasn't. Moses never showed up in anybody's person in Christ's first coming. But it may not have been time for him to show up yet. Elijah may come first before Moses. Both those guys come back and die under the Antichrist ministry and are resurrected. Go to heaven. So, I don't know. I'm not sure if I addressed all your question or not. I can't speak for Brother Donovan particularly, but I'm just saying that his system works, and I don't. He's going to come back and preach in 27, I think. So don't think I'm mad at him at all, and that we have a huge disagreement. Because I'm just not sure, you know, if I'm not quite sure. Jim.
Does Brother Donovan speculate at all when the rapture might occur? Like,
no. No. I mean, he's not one to do that much. I think he'd probably hold with the fact that Calvary started the church age. And so you count forward 2,000 years, 33 AD to, you know, plus 2,000 is 2033. You're probably going to subtract. He would probably subtract 3.5 years. I might still be tempted to subtract 7. So 2030, call it 2033 minus 7 is 2026? So soon? I've not heard him speculate. I don't hear everything he says, but I've not heard him speculate on when the rapture would be. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Would that be like when
I think that's a good point.
Yeah, because they have to prophesy for that length of time.
Right. Yeah, I don't know the overlap of how long they're doing that until the Antichrist catches up to them and gets them. You know, I'm not sure. Yes, sir. I'm going to get you, Andrew. I'm sorry. No, yeah, go ahead. There has to be some sort of reconfirmation of the covenant sometime in the beginning of the tribulation. So that's got to be the Antichrist, and I think there's another prophet that's involved in Daniel that is on Israel's side. He's viewed as their, you know, savior or whatever. He makes the covenant, and then he himself is plowed under. We're getting too deep here for what we can cover this morning, but I don't know. I just want y'all to know I am not in standing here in disagreement with Brother Donovan. He's a brilliant Bible scholar and stuff, and a great teacher, and I agree with what he says. I think there's the stipulation that it just might have to be repeated. That's where I'm at. Yes, sir, Andrew. Well, except for the fact that, don't forget, Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition, it says, when the man of sin is taken out of the way in 2 Thessalonians 2, The man of sin dies, is killed, and then he's resurrected with as the full-blown son of perdition. So we believe there's a coming back. Doesn't it say that Judas Iscariot was a devil? There's something going on with Judas Iscariot that we don't fully understand. But Judas Iscariot, is the son of perdition, is going to be resurrected in the Antichrist as the son of perdition, capital S, and he is going to be the devil manifest in the flesh. So, there's a thousand things going through my mind right now, so if I fritz out, you'll understand. Brother Cody. Yeah. 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 I think it is. You're going to read a lot of different stuff with Sir Robert Anderson and Schofield and Archbishop Usher and the guys that have worked in chronology. But Brother Donovan did a great job in researching a bunch of that and finding where Usher's date of 453 was changed by several publication committees like the Schofield Publishers and stuff to kind of hide it. And the fact that it works out so solidly with the 30 AD thing is really strong to me. It further solves the problem of, well, what is the Lord's date after all? Because if you're playing with Gregorian calendars versus other calendars in the past and all that, well, what year is it anyway? Well, that would indicate that our calendar is correct, and God's counting whatever the date is like we count. So for that part, I mean, I'm sorry, I just like that. I like it when a plan comes together, okay? So the math works that way anyway. Yes, sir, brother Nate.
You know, roughly, did he arrive at that 453 date by backdating everything, or did he come there independently?
Usher, I would have to look. His book is bigger, is the size of a Strong's Concordance, a full-size Strong's. So there's a lot in there. He is acknowledged even by our crowd as being an absolutely brilliant, is it a chronologist or chronologer or whatever it is. But it seems really solid. Jim. The second advent of Christ, yes.
Right. And where did that fall in the calendar?
September, October.
September.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've heard people saying that 2026, you know,
Yeah, think about the 7 years and the 3.5 years thing. Okay, so Christ, I think, starts his ministry at the Feast of Tabernacles. So September, October. That's the rough day to give or take, kind of a split date, either in September or October. So October, November, November, December, December, January, January, February, February, March, March, April. Did I do that right? September, October, October, November, November, December, December, January, January, February. February, March, March, April. Oh, yeah. That's 6 months. So if Christ started his ministry, then the first Passover, 6 months later, he goes through three more Passovers, 3.5 years. He's crucified at the Passover. It's always been taught in type that he comes back at the Passover. So if he comes back at the Passover to rapture us, right? Then you have March, April, April, May, May, June, June, July, July, August, August, September. I don't know if I said that right, but so from Passover to Feast of Tabernacles, 6 months. So he comes back and gets us out. And 3.5 years later, he comes back at the Feast of Tabernacles, bam, second advent. Does it work that way exactly? I don't know. Go ahead. Yeah.
The Passover, if you don't have blood, the Lord is going to destroy everything. So that being on the Passover would also match in my mind the type.
Yeah. Amen. So here's the wrap up. What we've done the last 30 minutes is speculative, okay? Because there's two possibilities. But I want you to just see that Daniel's 70th week, what we're talking about as far as what we're trying to prove here, is not speculative. 69 weeks to here, then there is a 70th week. Whether or not it was split and whether or not some of it has to be repeated, but we are not involved. Doctrinally, we have no part in the 69-week prophecy. We've been inserted, and the Lord's waiting to be done with us, rapture us, get us out, and then he's dealing with Israel again, the time of Jacob's trouble. That is doctrinally solid. So all this 3.5-year split stuff doesn't affect the timing of the rapture or anything else, just to be clear. So don't confuse yourselves with that. If you can just remember the 70-week thing is really solid. And I believe the 30 AD date is really solid. He's crucified in 33.5 AD. Add 2,000 years, 2 days to that, 2033. And then you can decide whether you want to subtract 3.5 or 7 to arrive at the possible date of the rapture. If you subtract 7, it's maybe 2026. I didn't say it was 2026. That is only to get you in the neighborhood of saying, you're close, really close. So in that respect, I hope it's not 3.5 years, because that means being here longer. We got to close. Y'all good? You wouldn't have heard this at the average Methodist church, just so you know. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. We pray that